You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And it's that time, folks. It is 5 o'clock, time for a live performance. And in the studio right now, I have John Freeman. How you doing, John?
Great, Scott. Thanks for having me in, man.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad you could make it.
Yeah, me too.
And we got lucky this time, too. The weather isn't that horrible.
No. Not like we're having in early November there.
Yeah. All right. So you got lots of great songs to play for us today, and you even have some poems that we'll talk about in a little bit as well.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we get started? We have a track called Aretha. Is that referencing who I think it is?
No, you know, and it's not. It is, but, yeah, yeah. I love Aretha Franklin, but no, it's not referencing Aretha Franklin at all. But yeah, I'll go ahead and play it for you. It's a tune I wrote and recorded with my band, The Codgers, a few years back.
Okay. Sounds good.
I don't know.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J with John Freeman. We're doing a live thing until 6 o'clock. All right.
Yeah.
So who is Aretha, or you can't say?
It's a fictional character. You know, that song's a very Warrendale song. I grew up on the west side of Detroit in Warrendale, and I go back to that place a lot in memory and in music. So just sort of looking at some places I used to like around there that aren't there anymore. You know, when I first started playing music in the city, we cut our teeth playing at the Tipperary Pub over on the Southfield Freeway service drive there. So I kind of had that place in mind, just imagining this sort of couple who, you know, are just kind of cruising a few Warrendale bars and trying to find solace in one another. So sort of a made-up story that came to me while I was driving around the old neighborhood.
Okay. So nobody in particular.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. I always wondered about that when you give a specific name, though, like Aretha, you know?
Yeah, I think, and of course, like, you know, you said you weren't the first person who, without hearing that song, thought it may have been about Aretha Franklin. I think those proper nouns in any mode of writing can be so resonant, though, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you assign a person or a place a proper noun, it's going to become more plausible, more believable immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I really. I like sort of specificity in naming in songs.
Mm-hmm.
Something I'm really drawn to in songs I listen to.
So yeah.
Shows up in my writing a lot, too.
Well, it creates a feeling, and of course it's going to be different depending on who we're talking about who's listening to it.
Right.
They kind of get their own, you know, imagined person in mind, you know?
Right.
And if you ask five people, you're going to get five different answers.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That's a cool thing. Huh?
That is a cool thing. Yeah, and I think certain nouns have an ethos about them, right? If you say Dearborn or Detroit or Memphis, right? Those proper nouns carry carry some level of credibility, I think, inherently, you know.
Culture and music, definitely, all
yeah,
three of them.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's keep it going. So we got another one, different parts of town.
Yeah. This song I wrote a few summers ago, hanging out in my in-laws' backyard, and we were hitting up a friend of ours who happened to be a songwriter and wanted him to come over and pick some guitars. He said, oh, you know, I'm already drinking over on this side of town. He said, why don't you come my way? I said, well, we're already drinking and picking on this side of town. So I said, that's a problem with getting my friends together. Everybody's drunk in different parts of town. And this friend of mine said, you know, that sounds like a good hook. You should write that.
Sound. Oakland County sheriffs are on me. Every time that I go out there, I'm scared they'll all be here. Especially when I've had a couple drinks. And that's a problem with getting my friends together. They got me cops in every single town. And these days, they lock you up for breathing. You get where you are, you better settle down in your different parts of town. Guitars until the dawn. We ain't hurting anybody, just minding our own business, chasing after that next great 3-minute song. And it's so rare to get us all together. Everybody's drunk in different parts of town. And these days, they'll lock you up for breathing. You get where you are, you better settle down in your different parts of town. Side of the city, crying in my Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. And Mary calls my phone, she's been at home drinking whiskey, said she wished she would have known I'd be up here. Said Edsel Ford must have died of cirrhosis. He hated his father. He loved booze and horses, but yeah, he made sure those airplanes rolled off of the line. Yeah, he made sure those airplanes rolled off. Thank you. said I won't cry when none of them rich kids whose daddies are captains of industry or captain of anything else. These days there's no captain die of cirrhosis. I ain't got no father. I love booze and music, and I do not care that those airplanes ever rolled off the line. Way out here in Ipsy, where blue angels do tricks in the sky. Way out here.
Listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J with John Freeman.
Yeah, kind of spliced a couple songs together there. That was Different Parts of Town into Blue Angels.
Ah, you did both of them. Mm-hmm. I was wondering about that. It's like,
yeah.
Wow, that's a pretty long song.
Yeah, yeah.
Even, as those kind of songs go.
That was my Pink Floyd era, you know.
Just kind of segue one into the other.
Yeah, they're both in D, so I figured I'd try that and see what happens. So, but yeah.
All right, which brings us to something slightly different here. So, you just gave me this book before the set started, Fight Songs.
Yeah, this book came out a couple years ago, collection of poems, you know, I studied poetry pretty formally. I did a MFA in poetry writing at Bowling Green State University.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved poems, and that's you know, I look at poetry and songwriting as, you know, being two slightly different languages, but it definitely informing one another.
Mm-hmm.
In cool ways, you know. I think
so what would be the difference for you? Like, what's the difference between writing poetry and writing lyrics for songs?
I think the question of meter is always underpinning song lyrics in a way that, you know, especially, you know, in the 20th century and beyond, it doesn't have to, in conjunction with poetry, you know, a lot of free verse poetry out there. So I think considerations of rhyme and meter are always showing up in songs, but the way our poetry has evolved as sort of a language and a practice, you know, you can get a lot more into a poem in a way. Songs are so hyper compressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
to tell a narrative in a few minutes is a huge challenge. I think poets have a little more space and latitude.
Mm-hmm.
To work with than songwriters, you know. And that's one of the, to me, the beautiful things about the art of songwriting is that you've got such narrow constraints that that you have to work within and against, you know.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. I mean, if you had to compare the two, it's like, imagine with poetry, you could actually have a simple 15-second song.
Yeah.
If you did it the way you did poetry.
Right.
Or a song that's 25 minutes long. But for songs, especially in the category of type of music you play, you couldn't do either.
Right.
That exactly. would be ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And that's not the only comparison, but yeah.
Right.
So you're much more free to move around. You can be more abstract even.
Definitely. And the shapes that poems make on the page are really interesting too, because you're using that right margin to create line breaks and spacings on the page and, mm-hmm. and to perform some of the ideas in the poems. It's almost like typographical painting at times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, songs, you don't get to see that action on the page. I think, you know, what they obviously have going for them is melody and timbre and voicing, you know,
right.
that you can hear, obviously.
There's more room to do things like pause, slow down, speed up, you know, where you couldn't do that with a song.
Right, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a good insight, actually. A lot of my favorite songwriters, though, were heavy readers of poetry. You know, I think of someone like Guy Clark. You know, obviously Bob Dylan read a lot of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Just the other night I was watching a live performance of Gordon Lightfoot from back in, like, 1972
oh, wow.
or something, and he recited part of the Highwaymen before he played his song Miguel.
Always loved him.
Yeah, he's an amazing songwriter. I think it's looked on sometimes as, like, passé or out of style to
no.
say you like Gordon Lightfoot, but I just
no.
admire him. There are so many of his tunes that I just that really speak to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I still appreciate him to this day. I was listening to him when I was a kid, and that was a while ago.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up hearing a friend of my parents, Larry Larson, cover the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald in a number of local Irish bars, and mm-hmm. he just did a beautiful rendition of that. So,
and he's still going strong. He's still playing live
yeah.
and doing his thing.
Yeah,
God bless him.
I'm going to see Gordon Lightfoot at Royal Oak Music Theater on April 3rd.
Crazy. Oh, you lucky yeah. man.
Yeah, the 80th birthday tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I'm stoked about that.
That's great. That's a wonderful thing about things like poetry and art and music. Until you croak, you can still do it.
Right, right. It's not like basketball or...
No. Be an athlete. Okay, 35, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah, totally.
All right, well, let's squeeze that in. Why don't we do some poetry then?
Yeah, cool. I'm going to read you a poem called My Father's Namesakes. You know, I published poetry under the name Cal Freeman. My real name is John Calvin Freeman III, which is just, like, ridiculous and awkward and has caused so much confusion in my life.
But, and it sounds kind of pretentious,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. So I never go by that. I'm either Cal Freeman or John Freeman. I do Cal Freeman when I publish poems because there's a really famous poet and editor named John Freeman who got the name first.
Mm-hmm.
So my father's namesake's kind of about my dad giving me this absurd name.
Okay.
I asked my father why he named his cat Boccaccio. An owl perches on a 5-story gantry crane, and Zug Island belches holographic fire over southwest Detroit. He speaks of interference and diffraction. My father speaks of the river's black, the black river like a bowling ball with scratches of halogen, moon, and starlight, and not a river, he argues, but a dredged-out creek that pours into a river. A willow's hair floats atop the current. My father says my bitterness is a hologram without a reference beam. I tell him it's a wonder anyone downriver speaks, given how much is only partly answered, how little is confessed, and how few have the agency to hear confessions. Boccaccio scratches out a canto on an impervious pane of glass. My father reads the interference pattern and paws his snowy head. I keep asking my father if his cat Boccaccio is dead. Even living cats have stone ears that turn inward when they hunt. I keep asking my father if his cat Boccaccio will paw at the water as it flows. Refractions trouble deep blanks in the riverbed. I ask my father why he named me for his father. Boccaccio made the canto out of dust and wind, but it's only an approximation of our breaths. No one knows what to measure or how. A cat is its own prosodic lesson. I asked my father why he named me for his father. It was an obvious name for the scruffy little beast. I asked my father why he named me for his father. Human it is to have compassion on the unhappy, he finally says.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, so that's me taking issue with my dad for naming me that ridiculous name.
And you put it in such a nice way, though.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
That's probably not how you used to say it when you were younger, right?
Oh, no, we would get into it a lot. But it would just always cause both of us a lot of confusion, you know. But he's a good guy, and he's read that poem, so I don't feel like if he hears it on the air, he'll be mad at me or anything. So he knows that one's out there.
You've worked it out.
Yeah.
Finally.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Should I read another poem here, Scott?
Yeah, let's do one more.
All right, we'll do one more poem. I'm going to read you one called Fight Song to be Sung Between the Trade Wars. A lot of these poems in this book are called fight songs, and they're, you know, they're not obviously sports anthems, but they're basically songs that are like speaking on behalf of creatures and waterways and, you know, ecological features of our area that like get taken advantage of and often destroyed. This one's Fight Song to be Sung Between the Trade Wars. An indeterminate animal lurches up ahead. I live in this greening place of non-existent tariffs where the heads of dandelions explode and solidify over the course of a day. Their proliferation and geographical sprawl making questions of empathy and appropriation litigious. I loved this town's manufacture of common grief, until I realized its history was hyper-present. Its cops chomping pseudo-legalese in black faces. We are sick of more than promises. An untold cocktail of chemicals rides the east air. No one feels as though living once is adequate. The smokestacks that tower over obsidian hills blear the moonlight. I turn and hoof it up the street toward the slouching figure that might hold a small death in its teeth after all, some sustenance embargoed long ago.
Okay. That one's a little more abstract for me,
yeah.
I have to admit.
No worries. It is kind of an abstract poem, you know, and the playing with language, and I wrote that one a while ago. I probably couldn't tell you exactly what it means anymore, you know.
I always wondered about that.
Yeah, you know, it means something to you when you're writing it, but some poems have narratives and you know, a level of clarity and accessibility to them, and I think other poems are meant to try to create an experience with language that that isn't necessarily about those cerebral qualities that we try to look to prose for, you know.
Would it be more like just capturing a moment, maybe?
Yeah, I think capturing a lyric moment, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. There's got to be times with songs where artists, God, I wish I wrote that down, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you regret it later on.
Yeah.
It's lost forever.
Right. Good friend of mine, Don Dupree, who's taught me a lot about the art of songwriting, always says, "Man, you gotta keep record everything you do. You'll forget it. And even if it ends up not being good, you'll repurpose it for another thing you work on down the road. Mm-hmm. You gotta have that stuff down. Otherwise, you'll kick yourself. You know.
Yeah. Like you said, there's gonna be some things like, yeah, it was all right, but then other things, God, I wish I had kept that.
Right.
You know, you regret it.
Definitely.
All right. Well, let's do some more music.
Cool. This song's called Disappearing Things. And I co-wrote this song with a good friend of mine named Leo Papa.
Whatever happened to old man Pembroke's farm? There's a base subdivision and that bluegrass band is gone. They call it Whispering Woods now, but we all know what that means. It's just the name of another disappearing thing. It's just the name of another disappearing thing. Step into the lizard lounge like I'm sinking in a stream. Blind Lemon Jefferson would play here, and his blues guitar would sing. Now they got karaoke a couple times a week. Just another disappearing thing. It's just the name of another disappearing thing. To play the Tipperary on the west side of Detroit. Every Friday night, the faithful would flock into the joint. O'Halloran sat drinking whiskey. Harry Murphy'd sing. Now the weeds have taken over. Just another disappearing thing. It's just the name of another disappearing thing. Make some sense of things. Ain't touched the bottom since it got the best of me. Still do some picking, but I hardly ever sing. Just another disappearing train. I'm just the name of another disappearing thing. To kill you if you like it way too much. All those things that used to thrill you, they fly by in such a rush. It all flies by in such a rush.
Live from Studio J with John Freeman, Disappearing Things.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, my time is flying.
I know, man. That happens when you're having fun, though.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, Scott, I appreciate you having me on today because I listen to your show a lot because you often have some of my favorite songwriters on. Like, you know, I remember listening to one with Mike Galbraith and Matt DeMitz and a bunch of other folks I really like and respect that you've had on here before. And, you know, it's so it's cool to be able to do it myself, you know.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to have you on. Yeah, we've had some great people on recently. We just had Audra do something last week.
Oh, yeah, Audra's amazing, man. Mm-hmm. I host a songwriter night, and she's shown up to that a number of times, you know. She's such a stalwart of the Detroit songwriting scene, you know.
Were you at the DIA last Friday?
Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. I had a family obligation, or I certainly would have been there, but by all reports, it was a historic record release, you know.
Yeah, I've only seen it that packed a couple of times, and I go there a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was basically, they had a video screen outside the Rivera Court, and there's 50, 60 people out there.
Yeah, man, good for her. That she works really hard at that stuff, and that's really awesome. I got to hear some of her record while it was in progress. You know, my friend Bunky Hunt produced that record.
Yeah.
And so hanging out at his house in the basement, he would play me things that his artists were working on. So Audra was working on stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. Ryan Dillehay is actually about to put out a record on December 13th.
And, yeah, it's next, not this weekend, but next weekend.
Yeah, and so I got to hear both those records as mm-hmm. they were in progress, which was a really cool experience. And Ryan's an old friend. My friend Nick Mansfield and I are actually opening up this show for Ryan's record release on the 13th at Planet Ant Hall.
Okay.
So I'm pretty stoked about that.
I might just check that out.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great night. His record is just beautiful. I mean, he's an amazing songwriter. So
yeah, we've got parts of it here, just like a sneak peek kind of thing. Bunky's been in here, and he's given us all kinds of great things.
Yeah.
Including Mike stuff. And speaking of, you're going to be part of the songwriter thing.
Yeah, so the Home for the Holidays Songwriter Showcase at PJ's Loggerhouse December 20th. I'm on there with some legends, Ty Stone, Don Dupree, Allison Lewis, who I understand will be here next week, right, with Audra?
With Audra and Sterling,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's really cool. Allison Lewis, a phenomenal songwriter, mm-hmm. so she's on that bill as well. I think... Pat Vadnais of Pat V and the Detroit 3 is going to be there. That guy's just crazy underrated, you know. When he plays, man, it's definitely like time to party, you know. He's great. Yeah. A lot of high energy. Reminds me of, like, that Hank Williams III kind of upbeat kind of outlaw country, whatever you want to call it. It's just good fun music, you know. So mm-hmm. it'll be a good night.
Wow, so we got some great shows to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Including, actually, Sterling's going to have that birthday party show a week from Saturday.
I heard about that. And he's got, looks like Matt DeMitz and Don Duke. Are both playing it. It's the Darkness Brothers.
And Allison Lewis is going to be part of it. And, yeah.
That's great.
It's going to be a good month.
Oh, yeah, you ain't kidding.
And it's just getting started.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I got to plug something I'm doing this coming Saturday.
Sure.
December 7th at Black Box Gallery in Dearborn, which is at Monroe and Carlisle.
I can walk there from my house.
Oh, yeah, me too. We live in the same neighborhood.
Oh,
apparently.
Wow.
That's cool.
I live on Bennett.
Okay, I'm on Parker, so I'm around the block from you. That's crazy. I'm surprised we haven't crossed paths in the neighborhood.
Could probably throw a baseball to each other's house.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, so Black Box Gallery, Saturday, early afternoon from 1 to 3. Bunch of poets getting together, and Allison Lewis is going to play songs. Play a couple short sets of songs, too, so it should be really cool.
I got to make sure I write that down. Like I said, I can just walk there
and
have some coffee while I'm there.
Oh, yeah, and their coffee shop there is great, good tasting coffee, so. It'll be a good time. So, like you said, just a ton of stuff going on in December. It's too much fun. I'm gonna play a tune though that my friend Nick Mansfield and I wrote together. Nick's a fireman on Zug Island in Detroit.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and about a little over a year ago, he thought he was gonna have to go on strike, and he's a union steward for his firehouse too. So he was hanging out at the Hurry Back, which I think is an E-course. It's either an E-course or River Rouge, and with all these old-school union guys. And he wanted to write a song sort of about that experience, the sort of tension of feeling like you might need to go walk the picket line. And so it's called The Hurry Back Saloon.
All right.
This Tuesday, if they don't hear nothing by noon, she poured me a glass of High Life. She said, "Here's how you'll make it through. Don't you visit me at the Hurry Back Saloon. These sad old men and men grown old too soon. Go out and find something that means something to you. Don't let me find you here at the Hurry Back Saloon." said when you heard them there last August. We drove to Caseville in the rain, pulled up to that lakeside cottage, and we dreamed about the day that our 30 years were through. Me pouring drinks at the hurry back saloon, you fighting fires for the GLW, doing all those things that make us old too soon. Don't you disappear into the hurry back saloon. This Tuesday, you're gonna walk that picket too, but you best look me in the eye, boy, 'cause I know how you'll make it through.
Live from Studio J with John Freeman, Hurry Back Saloon.
Yeah, co-written with Nick Mansfield. Nick's the guy who's going to be, he and I are opening up that Ryan Dillahaye show together. So you'll probably hear that one on December 20th at Ant Hall there.
13th, right?
13th, yeah, I'm getting my dates mixed up.
That's okay.
December 13th is the Ryan Dillahaye record release. December 20th is the Home for the Holidays songwriter showcase at the Logger House.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to keep a track of all of them. There's
I'll
too many
tell
of
you.
Them.
Yeah. Too many irons in the fire, Scott, you know.
Oh, believe me, I know. I had 3 phone interviews before we even got started.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got 2 more afterwards.
Oh, man, your brain's just going to be fried by the end of the day. Man.
Yeah, it'll be toast. All right.
I'm going to play you guys a song called Bitter Heart.
Late whiskey nights with fell apart. I got an old and bitter heart. It seems so nice, but I don't want to tear your world apart. Sometimes I look at you.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J with Mr. John Freeman.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm looking at our list here. Why don't we do some more poetry?
Sounds good. I'm going to read one from that book called Etude for an Elegy. And an etude is a piece of music a musician uses to practice or master a skill. And an elegy in poetry is a poem for the dead, someone you've lost, a poem in tribute to them. So I'm going to read you a couple elegies in a row. Your finger picks and capo on the settee, a glass of water and a small capsule on a time release, the burden of winter in platelets and bones. When I heard your dull thud of chords last night with the mouth harp melody, stringing itself through, I shall be released. I heard chord, quark, and cork, strings oscillating on a bridge of chiseled bone. Then thought of something dead, like an empty bottle, or the tines in Tony's harp. But who am I to define a thing as dead? All the good that can be done is impossible, like this playing, and help is the shape that language whittles out of failed intentions. You told me words are moody bastards that have ceased to love us, so I shut my maudlin mouth. A bracelet dangles from your wrist, traveling up your arm, but the analogy to drugs ends at the elbow. I comb your matted hair and curse the old guitar that makes your fingers bleed and fools us into thinking time is stretching out.
Okay.
And this next one is another elegy. It's called Threnody, and it's for my good friend Bill McGettigan, who passed away some years ago and was actually a Dearborn resident musician, guy I met at the Tipperary Pub. Great family of people. They're all actors and musicians and producers and stuff. So Threnody for Bill McGettigan. Clear from the back of the place, I saw the blues player stomp on death through smoke and diffuse yellow light, his face a fingerprint on a window. I drove through a cataract of fog this morning, like a little vein in sclera. I saw consecutive funerals on a hangover and 2 hours sleep, black limousines in rain, waiting traffic. The last car, with its four flags, is never slow enough. A good funeral should stop the entire day. A good day should trail its funeral in rags.
Wow. Okay. So you're saying this is from something called Elegy?
Well, those were two individual elegies, you know, poems for the dead, that come from the book Fight Songs.
Oh, it is from Fight Songs.
Yeah,
okay.
And so they're both sort of thinking about death and dying and folks who've gone on, you know, trying to remember them, pay them some kind of tribute. You know, yeah.
Okay, so without sounding like a commercial, because we can't do that, if somebody was interested in getting a hold of this, how would they go about that?
They can. Get it in most book-selling platforms. I think it's for sale on Barnes & Noble website. It's for sale at the publisher's website. If you just Google Cal Freeman fight songs, mm-hmm. it'll come up in a lot of places, Amazon, okay. you know. So,
and this isn't the only collection that you have, right?
No, I've got another one that came out in late 2014 called Brother of Leaving. That book's very different. I think that other book is more maybe confessional, more about my own life mm-hmm. directly. Some of the ones in fight songs are too, but I was obsessed with Euclidean geometry too at the time I wrote Brother of Leaving, so it's a really dense and strange book.
Wow, of all things.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah,
it's like, what were you smoking then?
Right. Nothing. I was just looking at these diagrams of angles and postulates and prepositions and rules, you know, geometry, mm-hmm. and it does have a narcotic effect though after a while.
Okay. As far as your music, how would listeners go about that if they want to check it out or get a hold of it?
Yeah, if you Google the Codgers Detroit, we've got stuff on most major music platforms, also I've got a side project with my friend Nick Mansfield, who I mentioned before, called the Wagner Act. And the Wagner Act is the group that's going to open up for Ryan on the 13th. Wagner Act has a bunch of stuff on Bandcamp. I think we got an EP on Bandcamp, and we just released a couple singles mm-hmm. that we recorded with our good friend Garrett Schmittling and Alan Park. So the Codgers or the Wagner Act Bandcamp is a great place to get my music.
Okay. Is there anything like musically just under your name, John Freeman, or?
No, I've got a solo record that is kind of in the can, so to speak, but I don't have any immediate plans to release it. Uh-huh. I'm working on getting this next Codgers thing out. We hope to have next Codgers record out in the early half of March of this coming year. We've got so I'm kind of focused on that right now. I'm a little sheepish to put stuff out under my own name, you know. It's a lot easier to say, hey, look at all these talented people I made this thing with, you know, as opposed to look at me, you know, which mm-hmm. so at least for me, for my Midwestern sensibilities, you know.
Right. Okay. So when you get that music done that you're talking about, the Codgers, the whole band has to come down here then.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to. Well, okay. Those guys would love it. And there's another really awesome songwriter in that band, Steve Cousins. He plays accordion, and then he also writes some of the songs. So he and I divvy up the songwriting duties in that group, and he's super talented, really sharp, great songs. So
okay, look forward to it.
Cool.
Well, it looks like we're just about out of time. I think by the clock, I think you'll agree. I think we got time for one more.
Sounds good.
I really appreciate you coming down and playing for us and the poetry, John.
Oh, man, I love it, Scott. Thank you so much for having me. I've admired this show and this format for a while, so thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
This tune's called Wild Turkey.
Once again, John Freeman.
In a trailer park, daily in Sydney, you're 18 and it seems so strange. You started smoking crystal and taking rides with dealers when you were 12 years of age. Your father was a millwright, your mother stayed at home. He could never keep his temper down. And in his mind, you were a piece of furniture. Got in the way when he kicked her around. Through your night, and you can try. told me how he landed that blow. That when you fell, you were like some helicopter. You kept on spinning for days. I remember the first time that you told me about your father. We were staring at a brown field in the rain. And bikers came, churned up the chemicals. Seemed you were always breathing dirty air.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And as promised, we have on the line, on the phone, the band Tallies. How you doing? Can you hear me?